This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Last year, I read a fascinating article in the Wall Street Journal about a gallery in Baghdad, which was the last place in the city still selling art. It amazed me how people were willing to risk their lives just to go see new paintings. The article was written by my friend Melek Kalin, and he was back in Baghdad earlier this year reporting on the current state of Iraqi culture, including the National Symphony Orchestra. I've been eager to talk to him. And Melek, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
People almost never put their lives at risk to cover the culture beat. How come you do?
I think it's a complicated internal death wish, probably, is a lot to do with it. You know, it's less dangerous than it was last year. Last year, the entire day was pockmarked and thudded with bomb sounds and helicopters going across and windows rattling, and there was a continuous presence of fighting in the streets. It's much less frequent, but it's equally nerve-wracking now.
And what does that mean for the National Symphony Orchestra, for instance? Are there enough musicians left in Baghdad that they can have real concerts?
In actual fact, I think some 30 members of the orchestra are missing and have gone abroad. Whether it's, you know, the orchestra in Egypt or Jordan or other places, they have other opportunities and they take them.
Is the standard high? I mean, Saddam, among other things, at least made an effort to sort of have this secular culture be top-notch. Are they musicians of quality?
Yeah, I mean, I think the musicians of a certain generation are very, very good because they had very forceful, disciplined teachers from the old Iron Curtain countries. Of course, all those people gradually faded away during the 90s, and then once the U.S. invasion took place, anybody who could left. The people who stay are either people who don't have the means to leave or who are really, really dedicated, or who just have too many dependents and would be letting them down if they left.
And when they perform, what size of audiences do they attract?
They get over 100 people. I mean, I was surprised. You know, at first I didn't believe it, and then I went, and there was like 150, 200 people in this hall. And that's where I realized that actually there is an enormous following, and they will go to great lengths if given the chance to turn up to one of these events.
Is it Sunni, Shia? Is it mostly one or the other?
Something like the National Symphony, those people don't pay attention to it. They have nothing to gain from the sectarianism, which is largely fed by, you know, politics and poorer elements.
We have an actual recording of the Iraqi National Symphony performing. Let's listen. You were smiling as you were listening to that.
It's just every single note is squeezed out against such improbable odds. Imagine that they are playing on instruments that are completely battered. Half of them haven't been able to turn up to most of the rehearsals. And it's, you know, like keeping a ship barely afloat by sheer willpower and love of labor. But also there's that we will show ourselves, we will show our numbers. It's actually it is both itself and means something. It's a message. And we want to show that we exist still and we are a force. Despite all of this that's occurred, this is what Baghdad really is.
You spoke to Karim Wasfi, who's the conductor of the Iraq National Symphony. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
When you do the 1812... and you do those cannon shots in the 1812. you don't need to import much of the sound here.
Precisely.
How do you do it?
We just do it with the tam-tam and timpanis, with the side drums and timpanis.
Because they're big explosive cannon sounds.
Yes.
I've actually seen that where they've had little cannons.
We do have cannons, lots of cannons. But for now, I mean, basically the timpanis are doing good enough. Every concert, we had more audience. So the last concert was a full house with around 600 people.
600 people in the audience?
Yeah.
He seems like a guy with a lot of spunk.
It was a real shock to me to see this person who I was due to meet drive up with an ascot and a blazer and shades in a white Range Rover. And I just felt, oh, I'm really letting him down. Look at what he looks like and look at what I look like. And what I do when I go into a place like Baghdad is I don't wash or shave, and I try to look as seedy as possible. And I find that actually people ignore you much more. So I went rushing back in, put on a blazer and a cravat and so on, and went back. And he accepted me into the car as if nothing odd had happened, and it was perfectly normal for two people to look like they were just coming from, you know, Brooks Brothers fitting. And we started driving down into central Baghdad, and he switches on the ride of the Valkyries. I could not stop laughing. I kept looking at him, and he didn't seem to think it was particularly funny. This was just his way of confronting the troubles. And, you know, I mean, he's a person who's achieved a lot and has kept things going, and I guess he has his own way of doing that psychologically. But it was so funny because the checkpoints are not accustomed to seeing people like this. So you'd drive up and you'd stop and they'd just gawp at you and look at each other and then they just wave you on because they figure nobody who's going to cause trouble is going to look like this, you know.
This elite part of the society there, the intellectuals, the cultured people, what do you feel they want from the United States as we enter our end game there?
Politics doesn't heal things. Culture heals things. That's what will help us all get together. So where are your people who care, who are in the area of ideas and arts and culture? None of you are helping us. And that, I think, is for a lot of these people who are really the literati, the intelligentsia, the young idealists, that's the final piece of evidence that America doesn't care to them, that America bought trouble and disaster, maybe with the best of intentions, but ultimately doesn't care about the people, because there are just not enough ideas and arguments and intellectuals going about, you know.
Melek Kalin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can read Melek Kalin's reporting from Iraq at studio360.org. And the conductor, Kareem Wasfi, will make his New York debut at a concert of Musicians for Harmony on September 11th.